Hello, my friends. Welcome back once again to another day of the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Bro Show. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Monday. And by all means, be sure to check out the website and the health articles. I got a new article up for y'all on the site at healthmasters.com. This one goes into detail. I had Harrison write it for me in the detail on the energy and exercise metabolism of green tea extract, low dose caffeine case studies, and the purple powder acai energy and how they all come together. And it says the body does not burn fuel, just one kind of fuel. It goes into detail on how the body uses fuel, how the body makes energy, how green tea works on the body, how it reduces essentially cortisol in some cases, and it also helps out with increasing fat oxidation during exercise, which actually help you burn body fat more efficiently without going into muscle stores. One of the biggest things a lot of people run into is when they start trying to do extra cardio, reduce calories, cut back on carbohydrates, is that a lot of times you start burning muscle tissue. And that's the absolute bottom end of the goal you ever want to do when you're losing weight. The goal is to always build muscle, or at least maintain muscle while burning body fat. And a lot of these ingredients in the purple powder do just that. So make sure you guys read this article. It's really, really detailed. It goes into extreme detail on caffeine testing and why more isn't better. And actually, the performance you can get with low-dose green tea caffeine can actually exceed, in many cases, what you can get with higher doses of just synthetic caffeine without any of the side effects. Because remember, when you start doing ultra-high doses of caffeine, especially in a lot of these pre-workouts and stuff, yes, you may get that massive, insane jolt of energy from the adrenal glands out the gate. But what happens is the baseline of it later on starts becoming worse. Cortisol goes to the roof, which, remember, cortisol is catabolic. Cortisol burns muscle tissue. So the overall goal of what you do with the purple sticks is basically burn body fat while retaining muscle tissue long term, not just this upfront high energy, then blast and go and then crash afterwards while your body stays in a catabolic cortisol-induced stupor for the next 24 hours until you hit your next caffeine spike. This product was designed to help out with sustained energy and actual sustained health long term. That's why we use a gram of acai in it. But there's a great article. Read up on it today, guys, if you're curious about this product.
Well, you know, we developed the purple sticks, purple powder, purple pack, purple can, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. Because, you know, we started off as a stick packet. That's why we call it purple sticks every once in a while. But then we found out it was not something we could sustain as far as manufacturing. But the crazy part about it is I learned over the years with coffee. I was addicted to 18 cups of coffee a day, 18. And I was in college, graduate school. In graduate school, they make you do an inordinate amount of reading. Well, at least they used to. I don't know if they still do. Now it's probably just AI. AI gives you a synopsis of this book you're supposed to read, I guess. I don't know. But the reality is that you had to read constantly. So it's up all the time. And I would stack coffee and basically regular iced tea together. I'd have a glass of iced tea and I'd have a glass of coffee. My teeth got unbelievably stained from all of this.
Oh, yeah.
So it was bad. And finally, I realized that I'd got myself massively addicted to 18 cups a day. And I stayed on that stuff for years. And then I started Health Masters. Now, think about it for a second. I'm starting a health company and I'm addicted to caffeine.
Kind of massively addicted.
I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron, actually. And it's kind of crazy because those two should be mutually exclusive. But I was working 100-hour work weeks. So I was pushing until finally I came down with heart disease, pericarditis, same as Austin did. It's kind of funny. You push yourself too hard no matter what you're doing. You get really sick.
Yep.
And then I finally realized, as a naturopath talked to me about coming off the caffeine, that I had to get off all that coffee because it elevated so much cortisol, which is a stress hormone. And what would happen is when I drank the coffee, I would feel normal. Without coffee, I didn't feel normal. The problem is my normal became a cortisol-induced stupor in which I was aggravated and agitated all the time. It was awful. And finally, I said, I've got to come off this stuff. So I weaned myself off. Oh, my gosh, I wish I'd had purple sticks by then. I didn't have anything like this. So I had to wean myself off. It took me like 2, 3, 4 weeks to get off all that coffee. And I still had massive headaches when I got off of it. It took me a full year to recover from the damage I'd done to my adrenals. Now, please listen to me. You don't want to do coffee because of the cortisol. That's the primary reason, because that cortisol is a stress hormone. It makes your digestion stop.
Yep.
It makes your nutrient absorption stop. It does all of that stuff with cortisol, because your body's not trying to, you know, digest food. It's trying to get into a fight. That's what cortisol does. It's a fight or flight syndrome. It puts you in constantly. The problem is when you do it every single day for lifetime or weeks or months or whatever, you start going into adrenal exhaustion. Then you feel fatigued all the time. You drink coffee, you don't feel any better. I would literally go out and have my buddy Howard. We'd go out to Sambo's restaurant. Yes, there was a restaurant named Sambo's, all right?
Sounds about right.
That was a total racist restaurant, right? And pictures of little black Sambo running around with a tiger. It was awful. No, it was horrible, but it went out of business because as the movement started with anti-racism, this restaurant got more and more eviscerated. Finally, went out of business, and I don't know what happened. It's been around a long time ago, but I'd sit there and drink 8 or 10 cups of coffee and go to bed and sleep like a baby. That's how shot my adrenals were. Now, remember, I'm a teenager in college. I can't even believe that my body is that shot. Well, I got off of this stuff, and I was exhausted. And the reason I was exhausted was because my adrenal glands were shot. And I remember I started dating Sharon, and she couldn't believe it. I was like taking a 3-hour nap every day. She thought, my gosh, what the heck I'm getting into with this guy? He sleeps all the time. It was because my body was completely shot and shut down. The nutrients couldn't be absorbed properly. The stress hormone had been thrown through the roof. My body was physically exhausted in my 20s. That's why I got off the coffee. Well, then I learned over the years, every once in a while, I try a cup of coffee, and Sharon warned the kids, look out, Dad's on coffee. Everybody get away from Dad. You remember that, Austin?
Oh, yeah.
And then I finally realized that when I drank coffee a couple of days in a row, I started feeling bad again. And I started not sleeping again at night. That's why when we developed the Purple Six, Purple Powder, Purple Can, I said, I don't want any coffee extract in this. It's got to be pure green tea extract. And that's what we developed in this. And it doesn't elevate my cortisol at all. And I've had friends who basically had gotten off coffee, start back on the coffee, and they get all irritated and agitated. So it's one of those products. It's loaded with B vitamins. It's unbelievably healthy for you. It's a part of a good program that you can have for your life in order to have a little kick in the morning, like I've had some Purple Sticks this morning, and not have to worry about elevating cortisol and not sleeping at night. Now, what happens is, Austin, this is a health article I want to cover. There's a biohacker. If I gave you his name, I'm not going to promote him. He confesses that he may have taken this whole longevity thing too far after revealing he has an incurable disease. Now he has something that basically has something with his gut and his stomach, and he was getting plasma from his teenage son, all kinds of crazy stuff. But he says the relentless pursuit of youth may have come at a cost. He says, I've been thinking things over, and I wonder if I've taken this whole longevity thing too far. And it comes nearly a month after this guy said he was suffering from an incurable autoimmune disease. Now, I'm not going to go into detail why he probably has this autoimmune disease, but it deals with I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. But the problem is that, you've got to be careful. There's a certain point where you've got to balance things out. People become vegans, Austin.
Yep.
I'm not going to eat anything from an animal product. And invariably, every one of them have brittle nails, brittle hair, bruising, everything else. They get unbelievably sick. A lot of times with the lack of B vitamins, they get schizophrenic. They don't have enough vitamin C coming into their body. It's awful. I was on a vegan lifestyle for a while, but it wasn't straight vegan. I would still eat eggs, etc. But the reality is I wouldn't eat meat. I ended up with a massive amount of problems as far as from a health standpoint. I lost a huge amount of weight, got unbelievably skinny, and I realized that this is not for me. I used to do 7 reps of 300 pounds on the bench press, right? I couldn't even bench press 200 pounds for 1 rep. I couldn't do anything. I was like weak, a little pencil neck. And I said, I'm not living like this. And so I started, I'm not. And I said, well, no, it's horrible. No, when the door beats you trying to get into a room, am I right? You try to open the church door, it's got a vacuum, and you're fighting the door, and you're thinking to yourself, that used to be a flick of the wrist. Now it's
pushing you in.
Now I've got my whole body weight against it. I'm leaning and groaning, trying to open a door. It's a nightmare. And so I said, no more. And so I start eating meat again, start feeling great again. So be in a balance. Take your supplements, eat clean. Don't get all bent out of shape if you miss a diet once or twice a week or you eat something you shouldn't eat, except for pork. You don't want the parasites. You don't want a bunch of little visitors inside of you chomping on your food. You don't want to get infested with parasites. Same thing with cats. I've warned you guys repeatedly about this. Keep the cats outside. Don't mess with the litter boxes. Stay away from them because of toxoplasmae. Very important. Same thing with dogs. I don't recommend having dogs or animals on the bed at all. Keep them outside or keep them on the floor. But be aware of the fact that you've got to have health concerns and be health conscious, but not be a health fanatic all the time.
And it goes back to the caffeine usage. Caffeine needs to be a tool, not a crutch.
That's exactly
right.
It's
become such a common product in all these energy drinks now. Some of these energy drinks have an upwards of 350 milligrams of caffeine.
That's a lot of caffeine, man.
When the problem is, very rarely do people use that much caffeine in one dosage and not use another one later because of the crash. Because when you start using that level of caffeine in one sitting, the crash is horrendous. I personally know. I told you guys a story I had, the same thing with the 20s. When I was a massive amount of caffeine and bodybuilding and not sleeping. So I just had a kid, ended up with pericarditis, ironically. And
that's so odd to me.
I was using a massive amount of basically BC powder on top of pre-workouts.
By the way, be careful with BC powder, boy.
And so when it goes here, it says how caffeine makes exercise feel more manageable. Give me camera 4. It says caffeine does not literally create energy. That's a concept that eludes most people. They think caffeine's actually an energy product. It isn't. It's an important effect that occurs on the nervous system as the body remains awake and active. A chemical called adenosine gradually builds up and binds to receptors in the brain. Adenosine contributes to tiredness, relaxation, the feeling this continued effort is becoming difficult. Caffeine temporarily occupies those receptors, making it harder for adenosine to deliver its full slowing signal. In practical terms, caffeine increases alertness and reduces how difficult or uncomfortable exercise feels. The muscles are still working, but the brain may interpret the effort as slightly more manageable. The researchers know that low caffeine doses produce useful central nervous system effects. While moderate doses may create large, more consistent performance response, larger doses also increase unwanted effects in sensitive users. Although side effects were not the primary outcome of the meta-analysis. This goes back to what I'm talking about as far as you start using enormous amounts of caffeine all day, you start having jitters, you start having heart palpitations. At some point, you start actually having a racing mind where you can't calm it back down. And you become, it becomes the opposite of focus. You become so hyper over-focused, you can't get anything done.
It can also cause anxiety.
That is a very common effect too, especially if cortisol continues to build. Meaning if you're taking a lot of stimulants and then you're taking more stimulants 4 or 5 hours later, remember, caffeine has about a 6-hour half-life. So if you take, say, 200 milligrams of caffeine, it's down to about 100 circulating milligrams of caffeine after about 6 hours. Now, obviously, the effects are no longer significant because the dose continues to drop down. Well, if you keep taking high doses of caffeine every 3, 4, 5 hours, by the time you get to nighttime, your adrenals are shot.
And that's why you can't sleep, because cortisol is a stress hormone. That's
yep. Right. And so, again, this article goes into detail on the effects of it, but I want to cover this.
Did Harrison write this?
Yeah, yeah.
He is so smart.
Well, this is one of his best articles he's written, because he breaks it down really full simplicity on how to handle it and how to use it properly. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people like the scooper one, because it's dose dependent. You know, the packets, a lot of times you use a whole packet and you're done. There's about 85 milligrams of caffeine per serving. Same thing with one scoop or one packet. So if you want to use a little bit more, so you're doing workout, you want to use two scoops, that's 170 milligrams of caffeine. I don't recommend using more than two servings in one sitting.
It pushes the body too hard.
I've done it, been there, done it. I think the most I've ever done was four scoops, one sitting, and I just don't.
Because you're a wild man.
Yeah, but we kind of experimented with it, too. It was when we were first testing it, and I wanted to see what it was going to do.
You remember we had all the samples, and we took them all?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my gosh. It was like, we were like, oh, this is too much caffeine.
We had our vendor here, and he's in his kitchen with him, and he's got all these different samples. You know, kind of different flavors, the way we're, you know, one has a little bit more monk fruit, one has less. And so we're testing all of them out. We got all these glasses, and we're trying them. All of a sudden, all the glasses are empty. And all of a sudden, we all just start talking. A lot in the kitchen. We're all standing around just having this intense conversation about all these different ideas. And I'm like, wow, I don't even know how much we drank at that time.
It was too much.
It was too much. But again, that's what I want to cover here on this article. So be sure to check it out, Health Masters. And also check out the podcast platform, browershow.com. And on healthmasters.com, I told you guys we're also going to be building. I've got a lot of feedback from it already. A lot of people want to be able to utilize their points more efficiently and actually get different things. We're setting up an entire Health Masters rewards platform on this site, which is going to allow you to buy certain things with points and have interactive options. Like, we're going to have some options out there where you can utilize certain amount of points, and we can have a phone conversation with you guys for about 15 minutes. All kinds of different cool things on there, including being able to buy a can of Purple Sticks. Certain things are going to rotate out every few months. And then on top of that, we're going to have different specials throughout the year. So instead of just having like a sale on products, we're going to have like, you know, a weekend sale where every product gets you 2 or 3 times the points on purchases. So if you spend $100, instead of getting 100 points, you get like 300 points.
One of the days I'm going to step in and go, I'm going to give you 10 times points.
Oh, gosh. No, you're gonna hyperinflate my brower bucks.
That's true.
So we're working on that right now. We should have that ready hopefully over the next month to kind of get it into the new season. This is basically, this month is the 1-year anniversary of the new website.
That's right. And what I want you guys to do is give some feedback on the brower bucks thing.
Yes.
You know, in the point system. Because
something you'd like to see on there, yeah, for reward points on it.
We're still in the building stage. Yeah. We can make it happen. So a lot of you guys are very socially interactive with us, and you send me a lot of emails. And I apologize, I've been behind on it. Because my email went down again because of that wretched Yahoo. Don't even get me started on that. I'm probably going to change it again and go with a different server, but a different carrier.
But you got ideas on certain things?
Give it to us,
as long as they're reasonable. I mean, we can't, you know, oh, I want a 3-pack HGH stimulate for 50 points. Like, that ain't going to happen.
We can't do it.
We've got a business doing that. But there's a lot of cool things we got in the works with it. So give us your feedback. Be sure to check out the multi-packs as well on the site at healthmasters.com. The best sellers, and of course, we just talked about it, the purple sticks are on sale right now in a can for the next couple days. They'll be changed over probably on Wednesday.
Yeah, so. Well, the thing I like about this product so much, the other day we had the tile guys in here doing tiles. But by the way, we're remodeling the studio.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you guys, a lot of you guys are always asking, can we help you financially redo this? If you want to do that, that's great. We'd love it if you threw a few extra dollars on your order or whatever. We're putting big screens behind us. This thing's going to be really –
we're actually going to do it. I think right now we're probably going to do a 12-foot screen.
I mean, we're going.
We can do anything behind it we want.
We're doing this whole thing right because you guys have asked us for better optics, better this, better that. We're doing everything we possibly can, but this stuff, it's kind of pricey to do all this stuff. But like, thank goodness it's not 10 years ago. That was insanely pricey.
Oh
my gosh. We're here for you guys. We want to be the best we can be for you guys. So when you turn on Health Masters, you forward this show to somebody for Brower's show.
Everybody goes, wow.
Everybody goes, wow, this is a great show. That's what we want, all right? Because we want you to be entertained. And that sounds awful. That's number one. We want to be able to entertain you. Maybe you can tell you a few jokes every once in a while and basically but give you really good cutting-edge health and news information to the best of our abilities. That's what we want to do. And one more thing I want to say, because we were talking about the purple sticks a minute ago. You know, the whole thing is the basis of this. Make sure you get your nutrient density high enough to maintain your health. That's number one. And if people are always asking me, where do you start? Ultimate Multiple Powder.
There you go.
It's the simplest way to do this. Take two scoops of that a day and be happy. Set it, forget it. If you want to increase your B vitamins, if you got stress, vitamin C, cod liver oil, you know, omega-3 fats, you can add that stuff on. But people are always asking me, we're not buying any supplements. We don't know what to do. We're kind of ignorant in that area. We don't know. We've never been educated there. My response is always this. Look, one thing, basically the powdered multiple, that's the easiest way to step into it. And what'll happen is you're going to get hit with the stuff. You're going to go, wow. I remember I had this girl that I knew, that just a friend, and you know we were talking, and she'd had that gastric bypass done, and she'd lost over 100 pounds. Her hair was falling out, but she's in bad shape, bless her heart, and she was not getting her nutrients in. She's staying sick all the time, and I gave her a can of the purple powder as a friend. I said, here, take four scoops of this a day. She called me up like an hour later and said, what the heck did you give me? She goes,
oh, yeah.
I feel like I'm a new person. I can't believe this. I feel great. Now, she put a whole bunch of reviews on for us. The reality is this. If you take the supplements the way we suggest that you take them and you start with a baseline of just the powdered multiple, you won't believe how good you're going to feel. Now, if you don't like the powder the way it tastes, which, by the way, tastes great, you can get the capsules like that. But then, but then you say, well, I don't like swallowing pills. Then you got the powder. So we cover you in all directions.
And if you don't want to swallow pills and you don't like powder, we have the chewable.
But that doesn't have the nutrient density.
That was primarily designed for kids on here, but I knew some adults that like it because we also have it. This is the main thing I threw together last year. And it never really caught like it needed it to, but I get so much positive feedback. And I wish you guys would leave me some reviews on it, more than one review. And essentially, we have Nordic Naturals Children DHA Strawberry Cod, which tastes honestly incredible. They did a great job with this formula. That's why I carry it. I can't make it better. And the children's chewable. This product is great. And I put these two together on purpose, for the sole purpose of giving you guys something really simplistic for kids. Because you can't go, well, the kids got to take this product and this product. It's two here. You cover your omega-3 fatty acid. You cover your multiple chewable. And we did it as a back-to-school kids pack for under $65. So it's discounted off of retail. And it's really simple to use. And the chewable, like one of the reviews, I got one review on here. It's 5-star. But if you guys have used it with the kids, give me a good review. The one on here, it says, finally, something that works. My 4-year-old's been taking these chewable vitamins and children's DHA for 2 months now. I originally got them as a back to school kids pack, and he loves them. He brings me the bottle after breakfast and dinner like clockwork. Even wants to take the chewables to school. He used to get sick here and there. Now he barely does, and when he does catch something, it's over in a few days instead of a week. Could be a coincidence, but I doubt it. We're not stopping. Hope this helps other parents out there.
You know, we've got a vitamin C chewable product too. And it's, I mean, every time I go to the office, I mean, I just,
yeah, you gotta watch that one because the kids will try to find it in the cabinet sneaking out.
No, it's Stetson. I take one to the office. We have my counter in the office, and I'll take one. Stetson goes, hand out. And I give him two. I give him like one. He wants more. And so I give him two or three of them, and he just sits right there chomping down on them. And the problem is, They kind of taste like candy.
They do.
They're
even
really
the multiple chewable don't taste bad. It's more of a sweet tart flavor, but they're really, really clean.
Oh, by the way, I was out the other day and I was having some chili, and I had a date, and they ordered some chili too, and then they decided that they thought, well, it's not quite right. I'm going to put some ketchup in it.
Ketchup,
why do you pour ketchup in chili?
And see, she's hot sauce.
No, listen, she says she's probably chunks of ketchup, and then she starts, oh, it's great. So, yeah, it's loaded with high fructose corn syrup now. And she goes, oh, no, it's great. Well, then she gets to like three quarters of the bowl. She goes, can you finish this for me? I said, absolutely not.
Ketchup.
I don't want high fructose corn syrup. I said, there's more sugar, high fructose corn syrup, in ketchup than there is in ice cream.
Yeah, density.
She goes, oh, no, that's not true. So I picked the label up. It was right there on the table. And second ingredient was high fructose corn syrup. Third ingredient was basically fructose.
Yeah.
And I said, this stuff is unbelievably bad for the liver. And she looked at me kind of funny. She said, well, will you finish it? I said, no, I'm not putting that in my body. I know what I'm doing that. You can finish your chili. I'm not okay with that. We throw it away, but I'm not eating it. It's trash. And then I finally told her, I said, if they combine these two sugars together, it would be the first ingredient.
That's exactly right.
That's why they separate
why they separate them.
And so, you got tomato paste or whatever, and you got high fructose corn syrup and fructose. They do it on purpose like that, so they don't make it the first ingredient, sugar.
So let me just clarify this. Regular ketchup, essentially what regular ketchup is high fructose corn syrup with tomato flavoring. That's what it
nasty.
Is. That's what it is. It's
nasty.
It's basically a corn syrup that they add tomato flavor into.
That's right. That's exactly what it is.
That's why when you look at it density for density, gram for gram, it's got more sugar than ice cream in it. Because ice cream, invariably, every time, good ice cream, the first ingredient is always milk.
That's
cream.
Right. Yeah.
Then they have sugar. What? But ketchup is high fructose corn syrup with tomato flavor.
And here's an article that finally made it to Telegraph today. This everyday ingredient is wrecking your brain, wrecking your liver, and destroying your waistline. From ketchup, they listed, from ketchup to granola, fructose is everywhere. Yep. But experts warn that overconsumption can lead to various chronic diseases. And you know, it's funny to me also, we've been saying this over and over and over again, but they're finally coming out with these major studies that are showing this. In June, this is like last month, 2 months ago, from the Monell Chemical Senses Center in Philadelphia, they compared the brain's response to fructose with another sugar, glucose, just regular sugar. The research showed that although each substance contained the same number of calories, the brain, listen, responded to them differently through separate gut-brain pathways, making us angrier, hungrier, and more susceptible to disease when we eat fructose. Wow. Unbelievable. Think about it. Angrier, hungrier, and more susceptible to disease, especially fatty liver disease. So be really careful. So that's another one of those ingredients like canola oil. Yesterday we tried to find some salad dressing at the grocery store. Everything's loaded with canola
oil. Doesn't exist.
I mean, first ingredient is canola. Finally, we found a little bottle of something. The first ingredient was olive oil. Organic olive oil.
There's one brand of ranch that they make in the entire universe that tastes decent, and it's with avocado oil.
Well, we went through like 30 bottles.
No,
or so,
that's, I've already
no,
done this
no, yet. And it was like this big, a tiny little bottle, $12.
$12? Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the heck is that all about?
I was in Orlando yesterday. I stopped by Whole Foods. They're the only place that has it. I don't really care for Whole Foods.
No,
I did find yesterday is I found a true Pacific wild-caught smoked salmon.
Did you really?
I got one for you.
You did?
They're on sale. There's only a couple left. Whitney, here's the crazy part about this. I was going to bring this up. There's a whole section of smoked salmon at Whole Foods, right? And again, I don't care for the place. They do have a few selected.
Jeff Bezos has destroyed that place.
Well, Publix is the same way now with this thing, though, smoked salmon. There was only two brands out of the whole wall, two brands that were actually true certified wild-caught smoked salmon. Everything on the wall was farm-raised. Everything was farm-raised.
And they put sodium nitrite into a bunch of them now. Can you believe that?
One of them had, like, it wasn't, it didn't have a bunch of added to it. It was farm-raised. Another one had red 40.
Yeah, there you go.
Boggles my mind.
Well, remember, farm-raised salmon's not,
no,
it's not pink.
Well, you can tell. The one that I got, and you'll see it, it's not even pink. It's like, it's got that red.
Like ruby red.
Ruby red, real true salmon. And then you got the ones like this light orange. It looks all fluffed up, and you're looking at it, and I'm like, and sure enough, they're farm-raised. You have to find one specifically certified wild-caught, because now they're saying farm-raised caught. So yep. they're manipulating words around now to confuse the population.
They caught it in the net.
Yeah. I'm like, farm-raised caught? Oh, you threw the cast in, and you got 500 wild, or, you know, caught, farm-raised salmon.
Well, no, they lie, and then when they get done lying, they start lying some more.
And here's something to discuss. We're talking about diet. It says how a mother's diet during pregnancy may lower a child's autism rate.
And
I'm not making claims on this. This is what the research says here in a second. So don't yell at me. I'm letting you know what the research is coming out here. It says a healthy, well-rounded prenatal diet, including the occasional indulgence and cravings, is a key to a baby's healthy brain development. And this is one thing that I have.
It's so stupid that we have to even cover this. Well, I mean, who doesn't know that a mother's diet affects a baby?
You would be surprised.
I know.
I know. I have watched women, especially like some people I know as friends with Lana and other people, and they're pregnant, and they're eating. And I'm just going to say this really honestly. They're eating like pigs, like swine. Everything's on the table at any point in time. I'm craving this. I need a half gallon of blueberry ice cream. I'm craving Taco Bell. And I'm like, you do understand everything you eat invariably affects the fetus. Everything. This is why alcohol fetal syndrome is a real thing. When women drink excessive amounts of alcohol while they're pregnant, it causes damage to the baby.
Fetal alcohol syndrome.
Why? Because they're consuming it. Right. Whatever a woman consumes when she's pregnant directly affects the child. It's like high fructose corn syrup. Mom wants to eat all that all the time. It's going to have effects on the baby. Now, here's what an article says here. It says one of the largest cohort studies on the subject, pretty much in existence, researchers followed more than 80,000 mother-infant pairs. Children born to mothers with the healthiest diets during pregnancy were found to be 22% less likely to receive an autism diagnosis. Now, there's multiple factors.
No,
on this.
I was going to say.
You already know where I'm going to go with this. No,
this article, honestly, is unbelievably skewed. There's other reasons
skewed,
here.
It's skewed, but on the factor of this, they're trying to twist it because I know where they're going with the shot aspect. However, obviously, this is a topic that needs to be discussed because when you read this article in a second, and some of the food.
Make sure you post it.
Some of the food that the mothers disclose eating on here when they're pregnant, it's embarrassing. Like, I couldn't sit there with a straight face and be like, oh, yeah, I eat all this while I'm pregnant. If I was a female, I'd be like, I don't know. Don't eat this. It says this cohort published in JAMA found that mothers who followed a healthier diet program were less likely to have children diagnosed with autism or report social communication difficulties at 3 and 8. Now, I'll just come right out the gate on this, and I'm going to say this right up front in disclosure. In my opinion, because they don't have the factor of the shot schedule of what they're discussing, most of the women that probably ate really, really clean were also less likely to go and inject their children.
That's exactly. That's, no, that, no,
that's why I'm
no,
disclosing it.
This article's nonsense. Honestly, it's not this.
No, I don't think it's nonsense because you start looking at women that are taking a set of fetamin through the whole pregnancy and they're eating high fructose corn syrup and they're eating all these unbelievably preservatives and then they have the child and they give them a dozen shots within the first 6 months.
That's right. Now, that's true.
But they don't say that here.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
That's why I want to put that out there. But again, so it says the second pathway in nutrients transfer through the placenta. It says one, poor nutrition is a huge impact on brain and body development. That is true. It says contribute to inflammation during pregnancy, which has an effect through oxidative damage. This also causes issues with lack of development in certain areas of the body too. It says the pathway of nutrient transfer through the placenta, omega-3 fatty acids, micronutrients such as iron, folate, choline, iodine,
D3,
vitamin B. These nutrients have to be obtained through maternal diet or supplements and they cannot be synthesized. It says research suggests that diet alone does not cause autism. However, it says here that nutrients may be one environmental factor interacting with genetic vulnerability.
Now, that's true.
Because you have certain aspects that certain foods and certain defects or deficiencies can amplify certain problems the child may already be having to deal with as far as a defect. It says early brain development happens before any women even know they're pregnant. That's a fact.
This folic acid, that's critical, by the way. If you don't have folic acid, you can't have proper brain development.
It needs to be methylated folate. Mm-hmm. That's the stuff we use the HGH stimulate. That's the stuff we use the multiple. It's MTHF. That's methyl tetrahydrofolate.
Vitamin D appears particularly important in early pregnancy. My omega-3s play a large role in the second and third trimesters. Here's why. Omega-3s cause brain development. It's fat. Okay? If a woman does not have enough omega-3 in her diet, like cod liver oil that's been cleaned, make sure there's no mercury in it. If she does not have enough of that omega-3, the body will suck the omega-3 out of her brain, out of the mother's brain, causing postpartum depression in many cases. Really, really important. That's why when these women will have a baby back to back to back, by the third one, a lot of them are postpartum. You saw that when Marie Osmond had a horrible problem with postpartum depression. And you think, well, why did that happen? Invariably, not saying every case, but in many cases, it's because of omega-3 deficiency because the baby has taken that. Plus, if there's not enough omega-3 in the mother's brain to suck out for the baby that's developing, that child will have a lower IQ score. Studies have shown that when you take additional omega-3 fat while you're pregnant, especially in the third trimester, like it's saying, that you increase the IQ score of the infant. Now, mind you, a 4 or 5 or 6 point increase in IQ, it's logarithmic. It's huge.
Yeah.
You take an 80 IQ versus a 90 IQ, it's a major difference. It's a huge difference. Now 90's not real high still, but 80's really low. So yeah, that's why when you bring these Somalians in from Africa with a 55 IQ, they can't flush a toilet. They can't push a broom. They can't do anything. But they're supposed to be working at Mercedes and Porsche. That's what's wrong with Mercedes and Porsche. That's they can't get workers.
No, they're
laying people, everybody off. They hired a bunch of these people that cannot be trained. They cannot be trained. They're not physically, mentally capable of it. So what you want is a child that's going to have the highest possible IQ points that they're ever going to have based upon what you eat while you're pregnant with that child. People are always asking me off. So they say, if you had more kids, what would you do? I'd say, it's all prenatal nutrition.
Yeah.
And I learned something else about kids, Austin. You don't have to micromanage them to the point of just trying to control their lives. You have to keep them getting killed, like in a car accident or basically walking across the street. That's true. But you got to be careful who, what friends they hang out with, too. That's really important. But, you know, a lot of times kids have to learn.
They do.
And if you're constantly correcting them and micromanaging them, they don't learn anything.
No.
You know, my mom was funny about it. She just kind of let me run wild. I mean, it was crazy. I'll be honest with you. It was kind of wild childhood. But if I got a D in anything, because she knew that I could do better than D's, she'd beat me.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting you beat your children. I'm not saying that, but I tell you, but it was crazy.
The beatings will continue until the grades improve.
Until the morale increases. It was horrible. But I very rarely ever got a D. And it wasn't because I was scared of being beaten. It was that I was unbelievably bored with the teachers.
Yeah.
You know, you get some teachers, and there's some great teachers out there. And I was a college professor for 2 years. Got it. I understand what it is to teach. And there's some great teachers out there that make the teaching and the fun of the classroom amazing.
Yep.
And then there are teachers that they don't need to be there. They're horrible. They hate teaching. They hate the kids. They hate everything. And they just do make it as miserable as they can for everybody because they're miserable. Those teachers don't need to teach. And so when you get a teacher like that, you're kind of like, you know, what am I doing here? This classroom's a nightmare. Well, then you end up with a D. You go, well, that was the teacher's fault? Yeah, it was the teacher's fault, actually, in most cases, except for the talking. I got beaten for talking. Beaten. They took me to the office, beat me with a redwood paddle. And the principal beat me. And my mom had gone to the principal and says, you may beat Ted if you'd like. It's okay. And I'm like, that's not what you're supposed to say about this. This is not okay. And it was cool.
Joke's on them because you're probably more successful than all of them ever were just from talking.
It was kind of my calling.
Kind of the touche on that one. And one thing about this, in this part, it says the Western style diet during pregnancy, typically high in fast foods and ultra processed foods, added sugar, unhealthy fats,
ketchup,
have been linked to a higher risk of ADHD and autism. And I do think on that aspect, when you start looking, if you actually tried to take these cohort studies, even if you took the concept of the shot schedule out of it, I do think you'd see more mental issues and more developmental problems if children are basically born to a mother eating really clean, healthy style diet and basically all fast food processed diet. Here's the reason why. Glyphosate. The glyphosate in a mother there during pregnancy reduces nutrient uptake and it blocks nutrients from being able to actually be absorbed even into the mother. Meaning the mother's not even going to have the nutrients that she might be taking because of all the fast food and ultra-processed food. So you're going to have a child that's nutrient deficient. Nutrient deficiency has directly been linked to neurological development problems, period. So I do think those two are correlated. However, you throw in the shot schedule after that, dude, you just got a brewed up bowl of just problems.
I want to read this sentence. Bring this paragraph up right here to the middle here. Rich, give me camera four.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find this. During her own pregnancy, she focused on nutrients to support brain development, eggs. Now, I'm going to say organic eggs. I'm putting organic eggs. Choline, super important. Methylated B12, vitamin D3, K2, protein, like from real eggs and from real meat, but no high fructose corn syrup and no, basically, sodium nitrite added to the meat and no pork. Fatty fish such as wild organic salmon.
Wild
DHA,
caught. Well, it doesn't have to be organic. It has to be wild caught.
It has to be wild caught. Green, because there's no such thing as wild caught. And leafy greens and legumes for folate. Now, no, methylated folate. You take that. Iron, you can do blackstrap molasses. It's a lot better than iron tablets. Dairy or fortified plant milks. Absolutely not. Unless they're raw.
No.
Unless they're raw and certified from the state. None. And, you know, and calcium, you get plenty of that from the raw certified milk to make sure it stays certified.
And prenatals.
Yep. Yes. Nuts, seeds, plant oils. Be careful with the plant oils because a lot of them aren't healthy.
Well, avocado oil is good.
Yes. And magnesium. Olive oil. And magnesium is so important for magnesium supplement. Whole grains, which, again, have to be organic also to keep the glyphosate away from them. Fruits, again, organic. Organic vegetables and fiber and antioxidants. You say, well, it's really expensive. Give me this camera. It's really expensive to eat. Let me say something to you. This is really important. I used to tell people to say that we had our tape series, Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. It's like $129. And I would say, they say, well, that's expensive. See these tapes way back when. I'm like, compared to what? A pair of tennis shoes?
Yeah.
I said, if you have a child that has autism, or you got heart disease or diabetes or cancer, you're going to think $129 is cheap.
Yeah.
Now think about it for a second. Your health is always going to be worth the cost you pay for it, provided you stay healthy. Because a person who's a billionaire, if they lose their health at the age of 40 or 50, they're going to wish they hadn't done what they did, and they're going to try to get their health back. Now, it may be able to come back. It may not be able to come back, period. And so what do they accomplish by eating all that junk for so long and stressing their body out with cortisol so long if they get sick and they die at the age of 45 or 50? And I've seen it. So ask yourself that question. How much is your health worth? So does that mean you have to avoid going to a fast food restaurant every week or every day to eat, buy junk food and go buy organic food at the grocery store? Well, yeah, that's what that means. Just eat clean. It's amazing, Austin, even if you buy organic and you make your food fresh and from scratch at home, it still does not cost that much compared to eating out.
No, it doesn't. I mean, because you look at the average. I think if you look at an average, like a quarter pounder with cheese, McDonald's, that's average price. You look at that with fries and a soda, you're right around $10 now.
Oh, it's more than that.
Pretty much. $10, $12. That's on average. You look at a price queue across the entire country. Some places like California is insane now because they got to pay their workers, you know, $15, $16 an hour to flip a burger. That gets expensive. So that's what you're looking at. And remember, that's one fast food meal. Well, if you got four people in the car, you can push about $50.
$50 to $60.
You got $50 for one meal for four people at McDonald's, about $50 to $60.
And they want you to give them a tip at the register, and they don't do anything besides hand you a bag.
You know, that's the part that I really haven't understood with the restaurant industry now, especially like fast food. Oh, here, I need you to click this button down here. I'm like, why am I giving you a tip for ringing my food up? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, it was one thing back in the day when I used to work at Steak and Shake, and I ran one of the most successful Steak and Shakes in Central Florida in Lakeland. It was insanely popular when I was over there off I-4. Now it's still there, but I went there a couple years ago, and it was just the experience, everything there was just blah. They didn't have servers there anymore. It's a kiosk. You go to the front, order on a kiosk. You feel like an animal clicking it, and then they call your number. Oh, 22, come get your food. I'm like, I can't even order.
Really?
I can't even order with a real person. It's bad enough there's no servers. I can't even order and talk to a person. There was like three people running the place.
Yeah, I remember that one time you told me you had like eight people come in and they give you like a 50-cent tip.
And and that's honestly one of the issues that ruined a lot of that industry with it, is because you had people that wanted to go out and go get dinner at Steak and Shake, and then nobody wants to tip. Everybody wants to drink, you know, 15 fruit punches the entire time and get a limited amount of refills, and then complain they didn't have enough fries. You give them more free fries, and they say, well, my burger wasn't big enough. I want another free burger. They trash the place out, and they leave. They throw, like, four quarters on the table, if that. And you're like...
And there were six of them, or eight of them.
Yeah, and then you're like, okay, well, now I know why there's no servers there anymore.
Yeah.
But again, at the end of the day, you know...
Oh, you got a picture of Fauci I want to show.
Oh.
Did you pull that up?
We'll segue into that. I got to send that.
You got to look at this photo, because it's kind of like that portrait of Dorian Gray or whatever his name was.
Gray.
Dorian, it was not Gay, it was Gray. Sorry about that. Not really.
This is an article I'm going to roll into, and I'm going to send that photo, and I'll pull it up here. We've got a few more minutes. This is an article we've talked about a lot relating to college, related to trade school. This is interesting here. It says students seek to AI-proof their careers with trades over college. This is actually starting to trend now. It says concerns about job security. More and more students and young workers are turning away from four-year degrees and towards vocational careers that basically can't be replaced by AI. Not at any time in our history are you going to have somebody that can go in and basically do a full, you know, rough and plumbing job at a house with robotics. Maybe one day, but not anytime soon. You know, as far, especially when you have complex custom houses and stuff, or HVAC, or any of this stuff, electricians. My gosh, imagine a robot running, you know, home run lines across the house on a construction site, turning power on. Whole house is fried. Robot's fried. Like, how'd that work for AI, guys? And so what's happened is now they said for years students were always told the future belonged to graduate students, four-year degrees. Now some of the fastest-growing opportunities that are highest paid are skilled in trades. There's an escalating demand for labor and high-level job security amid the rise of artificial intelligence. Vocational schools and specialized training programs are seeking a surge among Gen Z students and younger workers who are considering options beyond traditional higher education. It says major infrastructure products and the rapid build-out of AI facilities are fueling demand for workers with hands-on technical skills, along with everything else in the market that can't be replaced. Because the problem is, you know, they got jobs like, you know, data analysis at a company. Not picking on anybody if that's your job, but I promise you, you really probably need to start looking for another position at some point. Data analysis with AI integration now,
And it's instantaneous.
That fast, with zero mistakes in most cases now. You know, 99.99% accuracy. And I'm not running around promoting AI. What I'm saying is, it's here. It's not going anywhere. It is what it is with it. It's a part of society now. It's a part of this culture that has completely and totally taken over certain segments. And so, you know, if you're in a position where there's a maybe a possibility of that being you and that replacing it, you may want to start looking at other options down the line as far as certain things you may want to do or get involved in. Just my personal opinion, but especially if you're a teenager, if you're a young adult, look at certain options besides just the box that they told you to stay in at the communist indoctrination facility that we now call public schools.
Well, the other day I had a bunch of gaskets out in my house from my water in the toilets and the sinks and everything else, and I had not bothered fixing them because I live here alone. And I thought, well, I need to get this stuff fixed. It's ridiculous. And so the plumbers came over.
Yeah.
Boy, that is expensive. And I thought to myself, wow, these guys are making as much as a medical doctor.
If you look at hourly on it, yeah.
No, I'm talking about hourly now. I couldn't believe it. And the thing about it is I watched them repair a few of the gaskets and some of the faucets and some of the valves they took apart. I thought, I have no idea how to do that. But that's, and they had to replace it. One little gasket, one shower, one little valve, one shower was $150. I'm like, what the heck is that? And that plus labor. And you think to yourself, this is crazy. Well, if you got that position, now let me say something to you. I suggest you get trained in that area if you're going to do that as a plumber, and then hire other plumbers to go out and do the work for you.
There you go.
Okay, and that way you can basically have a really good income. Same thing with roofing.
You can all you expand it when you start being able to sub people out.
And then you could try to go ahead and go into the mafia sheetrock program here in Central Florida, controlled by the Mexican mafia. And you think I'm joking?
I wouldn't even touch sheetrock industry. That's
I think they're going to slice your tires in the middle of the night. Those guys are nuts.
But stick with roofing, stick with plumbing, stick with HVACs. Electricians really high and on top of the scale because of the AI centers and electricity expansion and the fact that that's a very, very demand skill set that doesn't go anywhere.
No, we had a...
You could go in any industry in that aspect.
Boss was building his house a few years ago, and we had the sheetrock mafia in there doing the sheetrock.
Oh, yeah.
And they were drinking. They had big bottles of beer.
On stilts.
On stilts on a Saturday. And I walked in there and picked up the crap and threw it in the dumpster. I said, no. And then I called their boss up, who was a white boy, and I said, what are you doing, man? You can't have these guys drinking on the job.
It clarifies, this wasn't like... post job at like 6 p.m. and they were done and they were like sitting in their cars.
Two in the afternoon.
I've seen construction guys do that, whatever. They're literally got a case of beer in my garage drinking while they're hanging sheetrock at like 1 in the afternoon.
On stilts.
And it was to a tall garage ceiling. And I'm like, this is a joke, right? And I don't mean like they had a six pack and they're like a beer. They had like 24 pack of beer. A full case of beer was like already half empty.
Still sweating. It was high school. And it was crazy. I went and picked it up and threw it all in the dumpster. Boy, they got mad. Guess what they did? On the way out, they took a paddle bit, drilled a hole through one of the valleys in the roof.
My roof was already done.
House
dried in.
And instead, when we first rainstorm, we just pouring in.
Luckily, my roofing guy was like
they'll patch it.
Johnny on the spot with it. He came out and fixed it perfect. I've never had an issue with it. But yeah, they finished it off. Basically, didn't say anything. Went right upstairs, my second floor. Took a battle bit right to the valley. Left, walked right out. Didn't even know it until we found it. And I was like,
and they knew exactly what they were doing because when you basically damage the valley, you got to replace both sides and try to match the shingles. But that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. BlackRock, Larry Fink says that AI data centers are going to be the next revolution in finance. As Trump says, you can't fight against data centers. You know, Larry Fink is another one of those guys. We used to have a picture we'd draw back in the 60s and 70s. It was called a Rat Fink. A big old rat looking thing with a big nose, looking like a giant rat. And now I think that Larry Fink's pretty much a rat fink. And on top of that, I really think that Fauci's a rat fink. And Austin's going to pull a photo up. If he can't pull the photo up, I'll show it on my screen real quick. But the crazy part about it is it's crazy to me when you see this stuff, you start thinking, what in the world are people doing out there with these crazy photos that they're making of these people, these caricatures? And you start to realize that a lot of times these caricatures are actually very accurate. And you start to realize that this guy, Fauci, who took the fifth over 100 times, is still getting massive blowback from this. And the sad part about it is when you start to look at what they're doing and how they're doing it, you start to realize how insane they are as far as what they're doing to rip everybody off, Austin. It's unreal.
No, the whole AI data center has been one big giant scam, though, as far as what they've been telling everybody. I mean, they literally have an entire protocol, and I showed you guys this is land weaponization from basically Blackbird Company that was trying to put one here down in Auburndale. And apparently now they're going in and they're going to be doing looks to me like they're going to be moving that AI data center to Auburndale by Polytechnic.
But no, I went by there the other day. The road was closed. you know, it was closed road, and I drove around the sign because there was plenty of room to take the truck around there. It says many warehouse storage facilities, what it says. It doesn't say data center.
Uh-uh.
So that might be one of the back doorways they get in now. They take it because they remember they do this all the time. Remember, they across the street, they said, we're going to have this giant area for people to run around and walk their dogs, a big park, blah, blah, blah. Got it all approved, and then came in and did a revision.
Yep.
Took it all out. So they could easily go in now and say, we're going to lease this out to another corporation, and guess what? It'll be an AI data center.
Remember, the category with storage units falls in the same aspect of commercial zoning. It's commercial zoning. I have that photo for you if you want to see it.
Listen, now this reminds me of Larry Fink, and boy, the screen couldn't even handle it, took it out. That's an exact representation of Anthony Fauci from a Dorian Gray kind of portrait kind of thing. Remember that? The older he got, the portrait aged, and he did not age. This is Fauci. And you say, never have I seen a more accurate depiction of Fauci. Yeah, but he became immensely wealthy doing what he did, and is an unbelievable megalomaniac nightmare is what he is.
Buys Moderna shares at $2 a share right before COVID. I mean, it was $2 or $3 million in Moderna shares. Then ended up selling them for, I think, 140 or 4. I forgot what the number. It was some exponential grade. He sold it right before Moderna dropped off, before they got more renewal contracts on the COVID shop, I think 2021, 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, come on, dude. You can't even try to pretend insider trading. It wasn't real on that one. This is another article coming out now with AI. Minority Report. Documents show the FBI is seeking AI tools to flag Americans before they act as the terror watch list grows exponentially.
We warned you about this, guys.
This is the Flock program camera, guys. This is where it's going with this whole system. A lot of local communities have been trying to shut down these Flock cameras, some with success, some with not. And I've told you guys before, allegedly, I would never recommend somebody doing this, but apparently some of those high-powered laser pointers can wreck the camera lenses sensors on it. Again, I'm never justify or recommend that at all, but apparently that seems to be a problem that's going on even locally. These laser pointers are wrecking out these camera lenses. Gosh, I have no idea who'd be doing something that horrific. But this whole system now, they're saying now the FBI office in charge is maintaining the terrorist watch list, seeking artificial intelligence for pre-crime policing. This is nuts. So they're going in now. They said the data list on this pre-crime information was around 10,000 people. That when it came out back in the teens in like 2016, they said that data analysis chart now has 2 million people on it. 2 million people already. And that number hasn't even seen growth yet.
Do you remember that one movie with the Avengers in which they had those giant ships that were going to the sky and kill everybody who ever said anything wrong to the government? Remember that?
And they
remember that? And so they had these guns, and they finally released them, and these things like giant aircraft carriers, and they had the guns trained on hundreds of thousands of people in one major city to kill everybody. Anybody who said anything about anyone, you think yourself, well, they wouldn't do something like that. What do you think they're doing with these data centers? They're targeting everybody. They don't want a free thinker. You know, George Carlin said this. They want somebody who's going to be just smart enough to run the machines and stupid enough to do everything they tell them to do. They don't want people going out and talking about, hey, this isn't okay. They don't want people having conversations in a pub or on a kitchen table or anywhere. I'm not promoting pubs, but they're kind of out of business anyhow. But they don't want that. They want people who basically
concept,
obedient slaves is what they want. And, you know, let's talk about Fauci one more time. Fauci is being exposed for what he is. Now, he's a narcissist. He's a megalomaniac narcissist. And he's now suffering something called narcissistic mortification. There's actually a interesting post, as far as you can look that up, on Wikipedia. And it's the primitive terror of self-disillusion triggered by the sudden exposure of one's sense of defective self to a narcissist. This is death by embarrassment. He's going through that right now. And, you know, Trump, in some aspect, is going through that now, too, with what's going on with the Iran war. He thought he'd just go in there and just take over. Now, I don't really cover the Iran war much anymore because it's all a big theater show. But we're going to bomb him. We're not going to bomb him. We're going to bomb him. We're not going to bomb him. We're going to bomb him. We're not going to bomb him. What the heck does that even mean anymore? And what's happening is having at least less and less effects, except for the oil markets now are going up again, Austin.
They are, but they're not responding like they were three months ago. Because what happens, everybody's getting fatigued out. Everybody's sick of listening to this crap and in the news cycle. I mean, what was the entire purpose of this concept? I said this from the beginning. What was the entire purpose of that gigantic, unbelievably efficient stealth bombing raid?
Mm-hmm.
The stealth fighters. Remember that last year? They came in, they hit all those nuclear sites. I mean, one of the most, blitz.
Using buster bunkers.
I mean, insane technology with our Air Force. And then they come in and say, everything's great. We knocked this facility out. And then it was all good. Then suddenly, you know, the little hat country goes, well, we don't deem that so. we deem you need to start bombing Iran, and we're going to take out Lebanon under the umbrella of you taking out Iran. Now almost half of Lebanon's occupied. What? Half of Lebanon's occupied, guys, now. And I promise you, it will never be given back to the people without a conflict.
Well, no, the thing that bothers me is this. Okay, Trump did some stuff he shouldn't have done. Apparently with Epstein, because nobody wants to show it. Well, I don't know what he did. We only speculate, because we haven't seen the records. But here's the thing. If you know you got yourself unbelievably deeply compromised, and you know you're in trouble from a financial standpoint, from a mental standpoint, from a moral standpoint, from a presidential standpoint, why don't you just step out and just step away and say, you know what, I'm going to resign. I'm just had enough. I'm just going to resign. And but we're not. I'm not sure if the vice president is going to help anything out. But the reality is, you know,
J.D. Vance, man. The more I dig into him, unfortunately, he's nothing but another cutout.
Well, we were warned.
Peter Thiel was the one who propped him up. I started doing a lot of research under him. When you start digging into all these tech guys, there's a reason why all these data centers have gotten massive financial backing in the second term. There's a reason why there's flock cameras going up literally exponentially across the
everywhere.
Country. Everywhere now. I mean, I keep following it.
There will be millions of them.
That's the goal. That's the stated goal. That little clown boy, little pencil neck faggot that gets on television and tells everybody, well, Americans are kind of like 5-year-olds. You know, if they know they're going to get caught and they know we're watching them, they're not going to do something.
Do you call him a faggot?
He is. He's the guy.
What's his name?
I'm not even giving credence. Everybody knows who he is. Runs flock cameras. You look at me, he's gayer than a $3 bill and lectures Americans on basically being 5-year-old. Literally, the Americans are 5-year-olds.
You know what, Mom? Somebody sent me an article on feminism the other day.
You can tell. He's got the face. You can tell. He's never been hit in the face before. He is the prime definition of an armchair keyboard warrior his entire pathetic faggot life, where he sat around and go, oh, yes, I like my concept. And he got some financial backing by one of his little butt buddies. And suddenly,
Austin.
No, I'm done with it. I'm so sick of this guy. He's nauseated me. He's the antithesis of everything American. He is so completely anti-Second Amendment, anti-First Amendment, anti-Fourth Amendment, anti-Fifth Amendment, anti-everything.
Is he the one who got hit in the face with a speed bag?
No, that's Shapiro, your buddy.
Oh, no, he's not my buddy. Oh, by the way, feminism. I've read this article, and it's talking about how feminism doesn't, you know, fight patriarchy. It needs patriarchy to justify its existence.
I saw an article.
It was very well written. I'm going to stop for a second. I'm not saying that all women who want equal pay for equal work are feminists. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when women come in, they try to dominate the culture and take over everything. You got to ask yourself a question. In World War II, this is horrible. I'm going to just bring this up for a second. When the Russians came into Berlin and into Germany, they literally raped all the women because all the men were gone. I'm not joking here. It was bad. My mom told me about it. She was in she was west of there, so it didn't happen in her area. But the Russians came in and just devastated the population of women because the women could not defend themselves. And it says basically.
Same thing happened in the Civil War.
Well, no, same thing. And so it's funny to me when these women become feminists and they start saying they have to do this, they don't realize what would happen if there were no police, no laws, no rights, no grocery store, no AC, and no internet. Just raw survival, brute strength, violence, and starvation. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with a woman wanting to work and earn equal pay. There's nothing with any of that stuff. But it says feminism is a luxury belief that only exists when men have already made life so safe and comfortable that women can afford to pretend men aren't necessary. Now, I'm going to get letters on this one. I got it, okay? But I'm telling you, this feminism through cultural Marxism that permeated our university systems and basically tells everybody that everybody's equal. Women and men are two together. They're two together like this. They're a team. They go like this. One has left brain. One has right brain. They become a whole person, and they can accomplish great things as equal partners. I love that. 100% both directions they give each other. But trying to come in and dominate men because you're a feminist and because you're gynocentric doesn't make any sense to me. And I read this article, I thought, wow, it says, you only see feminism in first world countries and safe cities where men have built everything so well that women forgot who built it. Wow. Then it says women feminism in these types of countries can only exist inside patriarchy. It would never survive outside of it. Send me letters on what you think about this. I don't only go here on the show, but again, I'm for equal pay, equal rights. But I'm for partnerships in marriage. I'm for 100% both direction partnerships and not a woman trying to dominate a man. You walk behind me, you peasant. You're 40 feet behind me. You shut your mouth. You be quiet. You're on a choke chain. I'll tell you what to do. What? I've seen it over and over and over again. Not literally on a choke chain, but they're walking 40 feet behind the women who are up there talking to another feminist woman. And you think, what is wrong with this relationship? That is not equal. And no. I can't stand that kind of stuff. And I just thought I'd mention, I saw that article. I'm not going to read you all of it because it gets pretty graphic.
I got to show this. Okay. So I got to answer this question, then I'm going to show you this video really quick so you guys can be equally as mad as I am. just so we're all on the same page. I like when everybody's equally as angry. We get more things done.
More focused that way.
More focused, more aggressive, more engaging. First question I have on YouTube, I haven't responded to all your questions, so I asked on here, what can reverse fatty liver disease? I'm not making any claims that we can reverse it. What I am telling you is to maintain a healthy liver and to basically get back a healthy liver. The GHI Cleanse is an incredibly good product to start with.
And the omega-3 fat.
The omega-3 fats with the GHI Cleanse. And you can start throwing in other stuff like more NAC and more liver support.
And cut out fructose.
The GHI Cleanse is the main product in that, though, that really works good. And you get the only way to do this, though, is you have to change your diet. You cannot change fatty liver disease.
No sodas.
Without, you've got to cut it out. No sodas, no, pretty much no sugar.
Sodas are sweet with high fructose corn syrup.
All of them.
And no ketchup.
There's all of them on here. All right, you guys, here you guys go. You guys get to watch this.
People want to jump to, let's just punish people and that will teach them. But if we look at our kids as a proxy,
yeah,
like the level of punishment, whether you're in timeout for 5 minutes or an hour, doesn't matter to a five-year-old. They do something because they think they're going to get away with it. And as soon as they find out that as a parent, you have all-seeing eyes, they stop doing bad things. And the punishment has nothing to do with it. And maybe it's unfair to call an adult a five-year-old, but that's generally how our brain works. We operate on a Boolean equation of, like, I get away with this, so I do it. If I don't think I get away with it, I don't do it. And maybe, one is stealing,
this is how arrogant this guy is.
A gummy from a jar of candy, another one is shooting someone, so quite a big disparity there, but it's the same brain.
What is wrong with
that? That's how freaking arrogant this guy is, why I called him what I did a minute ago, lest you wanted to know my explanation on that. Literally sits there and goes, basically, Americans are five-year-olds. If they think they can get away with something and they can't, we have all seen eyes. That's the guy that wants to put, he's a CEO of Flock. So his goal is to monitor everything you do and treat everyone like a five-year-old.
I don't have a problem with a person being gay if that's what they choose to do with their own personal life. They don't try to
don't project it on me. Literally sits there and goes, basically, Americans are five-year-olds. If they think they can get away with something and they can't, we have all seen eyes. That's the guy that wants to put, he's a CEO of Flock. So his goal is to monitor everything you do and treat everyone like a five-year-old.
I don't have a problem with a person being gay if that's what they choose to do with their own personal life. They don't try to
don't project it on me.
Sitting there, all he does is piss off everybody around him.
Well, no, it's the arrogance, the hubris.
No, it's arrogance.
This is what it is. That's why he acts the way he does. Because I said you can always tell somebody's behavior when they've never gotten just absolutely knocked out by getting hit in the face before. They just have that arrogant look. Got the pretty boy look, too, is entirely too well-groomed in that situation. Doesn't have enough scars. And on top of that, he's going to sit there and lecture me, a grown-ass adult that will literally knock him out in 1 second, about I'm basically a five-year-old, and I need to be monitored like a baby, like a child with cameras everywhere. And here's the problem.
And you're not making any threats to him whatsoever.
Zero threats.
No.
But what I'm saying is this. There's a point in time where everybody has to start pushing back against all these cameras. How you do so and where you go as far as with the county commissioners, whatever, that's up to you. But this isn't going to stop. And this is going to turn into 100%, as I already told you guys, a full-blown AI data-less program that they're putting together.
Why do you think putting AI data centers in, guys?
Minority
report, cameras.
They're going to see where you go, what you drive, where you stop, who you talk to, where your cell phone pings off, and they're going to start doing predictive threat analysis assessment on everybody.
State Farm says to me, I never recommend State Farm, by the way. They say, oh, by the way, if you let us basically monitor your driving, we will give you a $5 discount per month on your insurance. So we want to know how fast you go, how
every
quick you
speed,
stop. Every stop sign. I'm like, my response was absolutely not. By the way, OnStar and a lot of these things already do that. They monitor you, and that data can be purchased in many cases,
OnStar,
not all cases.
OnStar already got this massive lawsuit.
I know.
In Texas.
Selling that
huge.
Selling that data.
All everybody's data. This is why I tell you guys, turn the permissions off on your apps. If you got apps on your phone, keep camera taped up on your selfie camera. Do not give them permissions. And if you need to have private conversations or go somewhere, put it in a Faraday bag.
Driving down the highway, all of a sudden the car says to me, oh, how can I help you? I never pushed a button because they heard me and they're monitoring every word I say. Be careful in your cars. Be careful with your conversations. Gosh, I hate to even say this, but my gosh, you're being monitored even in your automobiles on these new ones.
You are now. I got another article I'm going to cover tomorrow about a new patent that Ford just put together. Essentially, if you're late on your payment, they start doing all these just demented petty things on your vehicle, start having sirens going off in your car, AC turns off on it, all these different programs as you get behind on a payment, and then eventually
finance through Ford Motor Company.
Correct. It's crazy. So guys, stay strong, stay sharp, stay healthy, stay full of energy. Purple Sticks on sale. You want to try them, give me some feedback on them. Get ready for school for the kids. Hopefully they're going back to a good school. Not a comment, it's Indoctrination Camp. And make sure you guys continue to get the truth out there every single day. Stay frosty. I'll talk to you on this show tomorrow as well.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Remember, this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. And remember, Jesus is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And we do all things through him, for he is our hope, period. Guys, I hope you were at church yesterday. I love you guys. I prayed for you yesterday. Thanks for praying for us, and thank you so much for your support. God bless you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.